Well, praise God. How many enjoying the Lord? Well, three of you are. Amen. How many can stay for about a three-hour sermon this morning? Jeff? He's over there. Well, amen. You can help me out this morning. Every amen that I get, I knock 10 minutes off the message. And while I'm preaching, every praise the Lord is good for 15 minutes knocked off the message. Can we stand for the closing prayer? Don't even think about it. Man, reminded me of an evangelist that was just preaching his heart out. He was anointed and God was moving and he was excited. And all of a sudden he began to hear the pastor say, amen, amen, Pharaoh, amen, Pharaoh, amen, amen, Pharaoh. Man, that kind of disturbed him a little bit. He didn't understand it. So when church was over, he went to the pastor and the pastor said, brother, that was good preaching. He said, well, thank you. But what was this amen, Pharaoh stuff? He said, that meant that was good preaching, but let my people go. Amen. We'll try to hold you as long as the Lord holds us. How about that? That's a square deal. Amen. I'm glad for these wireless microphones. They free us a lot to move around. I have a hard time kind of staying still. I like to get down where the people are. Amen. You know, they used to put us preachers on a short leash. They did. They'd give you, 3 to 6 foot, and you'd get out, you'd be really fired up and move. You'd get to the end of it, and you'd have to go back, and you'd go over to this side, and you'd get to the end of it. And I mean, you'd just be so frustrated. Finally, one little boy looked up at his mom, and he said, Mom, if he gets loose, will he hurt us? Well, we hope not. We hope that God will minister to you today. If your heart is open, amen. Did you bring your Bible with you? Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I want to preach a message to you today about three different class of people, and there's two of them. I hope that you don't fit in. Now, we know that today people are doing everything they can to fit in. How many want to fit in? Peer pressure. You know, we want to be with the in gang, and we want to, you know, be popular, if you will, or we want to be wealthy, if you will, and we want to have friends, if you will. And a lot of that's okay, but I just wonder how many of us at times may fit into categories that we shouldn't be a part of. And I look at this simple verses found in Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Along about the 21st verse, Jesus is speaing, and he's beginning to talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But verse 30 says, Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, just so happens, there came a certain priest that way, which he saw passed on the other way. And likewise, a Levite. He was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed on the other way. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was, saw him. He had compassion on him. He went to him, bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his bed, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host, said, take care of him. And whatever thou spendest more, when which I will come again, I will repay thee. What a wonderful story. But I get to thinking that this first crowd that I hope that we're not a part of, I call them beater-uppers. Don't shout me down. Down from Jerusalem, Jericho, the road was a steep descent, which was about 18 miles east, and it was called Bloody Way. And it was one of the most dangerous areas of Palestine because of the robbers and the bandits, if you will, of the day that had literally would find hiding place so that the bands people, because it was a well-traveled area going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And here we find that just a certain man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And all of a sudden he fell among thieves. Amen. How many know the devil is thief? And he comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come. How many like that butt in there? Whenever you see the certain butts in there, what that butt cancels out everything that was said because of Jesus. I mean, the devil did come to steal, kill, and destroy, but canceled. Jesus come that we might have life, and it in superabundance. How many of you like superabundance life? Amen. Superabundance life in the home, in the family, in the finance. Come on, that's a good place to say amen. And verse 30 says, they strip him of his garments. But the beater-uppers that I think of today are like a lot of those that when we don't witness, we're beating people up. When we don't tell others about Jesus, we're beating them up. And we strip them of their chance of the garment of salvation. Now, I want you to know something. You know, I'm glad for pastors that can preach salvation and they'll come forward and no doubt right across this altar here there have been many hearts given to the Lord and one to God. But I want you to know each one of us have a responsibility to go into the highways, byways, come on church, compel them, bring them, amen, lead them to the Lord right there. Let's not strip them of their chance to receive the good of salvation. When we don't tell them of what the Lord done. A lot of times we can be mum. Let somebody else do it. I remember I worked in a grocery store. And I was only getting to go to church only on Sunday morning. Because I worked Sunday night and I worked midweek service night. And it was a chore to get up and go Sunday school and Sunday morning. But I done my best until I got kind of dry. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but I don't eat one hot meal a week and snack on cold candy bars the rest of the week. I need the house of the Lord. I need the word ministered to me. Come on, church. Amen. And so I was getting kind of dry and not in a very good place. And this lady at the grocery store I worked in, this lady and mother used to come to the store. And one day the daughter came in and mom was with her and she said, mom is in the hospital. And I go, oh my goodness. She said, maybe you could go up and see. She knew I was a Christian. Maybe you could go up and pray for her. I'll do that. I'll do that. Pastor, I had it in my heart to do it, but something come up and I was busy here and dragging there. How many understand what I'm talking about? Amen. And I kept putting it off and I'd go to work and all of a sudden the daughter would come in and, hey, did you chance to go see mom yet? No, I didn't, but I will. I'll go up and see her. And another day or two passed and she come in and it was the same thing. Did you go and see mom yet? No, but I'm gonna. And then one day she come in sad and broken and hurting. And I made a mistake and said, well, how's your old mom doing today? She died. I don't know if I was to be the last one to see her this side of eternity. I don't know if I was God's appointed man of God or Christian more than a man of God to be there to, maybe I was to share the faith, what God could do and maybe lead her to the Lord. But I want to tell you something, church. I robbed her of a chance. Are you hearing me? In my eyes, to the garment of salvation. Amen. And I don't know that if she was saved or not, but I do that God worked me over good. Don't shut me down now. But I wonder when we've done that. Look at this. They done four things. First, they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. The Bible says in Ephesians that there are those that he had quickened, made alive. Look at your neighbor, say, made alive, who were dead in their trespass and sins. Amen. There are those, amen. How many are so thankful that God made you alive? Amen. Romans says, if the same spirit that was in Christ dwell in you, it shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. Praise God, I'm alive today. I'm glad that I didn't have a beater-upper come my way. A beater-upper. They beat him up. They wounded him. And we know that there are a lot of people that are beat up in this world. A lot of people that are wounded in this world. Some at the hands of others. Don't shut me down. Beater-uppers, thieves, they refuse to tell others of Christ and what he done for you. How many here can attest what God done for you? Amen. Robbing them of their chance to be saved, healed, delivered. Robbing them of his love and his mercy, his goodness and his forgiveness. Don't be a beater-upper. And by chance, happenstance. You know, I'm a person that if you're a Christian today, anybody here a Christian? There's one now, two now, three there. You know, God appoints divine appointments. He positions us in people's lives that we could be there for them. Go into the world. Amen. You are the light of the world. Amen. And light drives back darkness. How many of you know this world is sinking in darkness? Come on, church. And if there's ever a day when we as God's people need to shine the light, come on, church. Amen. And be that hope to the world. But a lot of times we're pastor-uppers. Jericho was a priestly city. No less than 12,000 priests lived there who would frequently pass that way to minister in the temple. Priests and Levite, they came as close to see a wounded man, bloody and bruised and left dead. Seeing people all around us. And many of us passed right by. They came and they looked on him. Don't shout me down there. They came and looked on him and passed over to the other side. First the beater-upper church came by and the pastor-upper church came by. A priest, a minister to the people, a Levite, a scholar of the word, of the law, if you will. The most likely, they came, looked, and they moved on. We're supposed to be merciful and passionate and care that people are hurting. Can I tell you something? I'm glad that they didn't pass me up when I hit bottom. I was glad that there's somebody that came, amen, and put a hand down into the hell hole that I was in. And they lifted me up. Come on, church, with love and with a compassion. And some of them, they took some time with me. Some of us knuckleheads are slow. How many times have we been like the priest? And listen, my Bible says that we all are kings and priests. Priests. Well, let's leave it up to Pastor Dave to do. No, he's got a job. And it ain't all about painting either. God gave to the church, according to Ephesians 4:11, God gave to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. You didn't know he was here to perfect you. You just thought he was here to rub you the wrong way. Amen. And he probably does a good job at it. But listen, church, God gave to the church these fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Listen to this, for the work of the ministry. Let me add it. Let me behind that pulpit. No, our ministry, come on, church. The mission field is beyond the church doors, where we take the light, where we take the love of Jesus, where we go to those that have been hurting, broken, bruised, and wounded. Come on, church. Amen. We're waiting for them to come here to the church, and we'll love them and we'll help them. But they're not in here. They're out there. That's good preaching, Brother Hayes. I'll amen that preacher if I have to. Praise God. Sometimes we're like them is enough that we can go and look down our noses at and think, I can't even think for them. Oh man, they have really hit bottom. Besides, I don't want stinky at my church. Hello? Sometimes we're like that. But you know, our obligation is to bring them. It's God's obligation to clean them up. Amen. And hello? It is God's obligation. If you bring them, I don't care where they've been or what they've done, don't do the Holy Ghost job. He does it a whole lot better than you and me. Come on, church. And he does a work on the inside that changes on the outside. And he'll make good people at him. Look at me right now. I'm a miracle of the Lord because I was stinky. Don't shout me down. But I'm so glad that there wasn't a passer-upper. I'm sure there was plenty that didn't pass me up. Churches all across the country and worldwide are made up of people who have been beaten up. Beaten up in life. Beaten up in marriages. I'm talking about broken, hurting. Come on, church. There are some people out there and we're passing them up. Come on, church. But we need to go to them. And by a second, they came, does not even look on them. And can I tell you something? Open your eyes. There are hurting people all around us. And we sometimes pass them up. We pass them up. We don't have time for them. Does it take much time to invite them? Does it take much time to come? You know, how many came to church with an empty back seat? Amen. You know what I found out, Pastor? The best way to get go to church, to get a loved one, a family member, or someone to go to your church. Hey, how would you guys like to go and eat with me? Whether you cook it, or whether you go to McDonald's, or whether you go to, you know, a nice place. Man, these women knew it all these years. The best way to a man is through his stomach. Come on. The weapons are warfare. Corinthians said, the weapons are warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. You say, hey, how would you like to come over to my house to eat? Or how would you like to go and eat? And oh, by the way, let me pick you up and take you to church too. Sneaky. I said sneaky. But let's not be a passer-upper. Let's not be a beater-upper church. Let's be as the third class people. They were picker up. By chance, a Samaritan. The Bible goes on to call him a good Samaritan. There was nothing. There was no title to him being a Samaritan as it was as a Levite or a priest. That wasn't, hello, a Samaritan was a half-breed. They hated the Jews and the Jews hated them. I don't want to go to that church. I don't like them people. You ain't going to go to heaven if you don't love me. Don't shout me down now. How many want to make it to heaven? Well, three of you do. They were hated. Amen. They were half Jew and half Gentile. They went as far to call one another dogs. I found if you could call a big man a dog, call him a big dog. But look with me, if you will. There were 10 acts of love that this picker-upper performed. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to be a picker-upper. First of all, they will go to them. You know, we're waiting for them to come here, and really, they're out there. We need to go where the lost are. Jesus told his disciples to launch out into the deep for a great catch of fish. They're out. They're out deep in sin. Don't shout me down now. Come on. They're out there hurting, broken, and bruised. Amen. And we're snuggled in close here. Amen. Some churches even got recliners in the church and got a slot for the big golf to sit next to. Get off your blessed church and get out there and go where they are. They will go to where they are, not waiting for them to come. The second thing is, they had a compassion. You know, I would that God would baptize his church afresh and new with a Holy Ghost dose of compassion and love for the hurting and the broken, for the lost and the sick. John says, whosoever had this world's good, come on, has God blessed you? I heard, Pastor, I heard some great swelling words of testimony. Brother Jeff and a little fella back here and here. Amen. Yeah, and you want to open the door to greater blessings into your life. Someone said a terrible curse word, and I said, my God's last name isn't damn, it's bless. His last name is bless. He's about blessing his people. Amen. But look at this. Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother has need and shutteth up the bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in him? Oh, I'm just so full of the love of God. Then let's show it. Not only did they go to them and have compassion, look at this. They went and bound him up and healed. Here he was, stripped. Bloody, bruised, amen, lying in a ditch, if you will. And he went to them, and compassion was in his heart. And I want you to know, he bound him up. He bound him up. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal, say it with me, the brokenhearted. Come on, church, and preach deliverance to captives. Preach deliverance. That didn't mean go and be obnoxious. That means think about it, right? But look at this. Amen. To preach deliverance, that's telling them you don't have to live like you're living when he set us free, when he made it possible for you to be free. Come on, church. Amen. I remember when I was in prison, and I was glad when someone dangled some keys in front of me and said I could have them and come out of this prison that I was in, of pain, hurt, and things that have transpired in my life, church. Can I tell you, church, that we need to go to where the hurting are. Not only that, but he poured in oil and wine, the healing elements of the day. And oil and wine is always representative of the Holy Ghost and joy. Well, praise God. I said, Holy Ghost and joy. Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost will give you a spring in your step? Amen. And the wine, amen, the wine speaks of joy. Praise God. How many got joy? Amen. I remember a story years ago my pastor used to tell, and it was this little old mouse, and he was always being beat up by the big old mean kitty cat, and he would chase him all the time, and he would barely make it from one hole to the next hole. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, he'd be running as hard as he could, and he'd make it in, always beat up, always hurting. And one day that old cat was chasing him, and he was running as fast as he could, and he got turned around, and he went down to a door was open, and he went down in, and he followed the stairs down, and that big old mean kitty cat was right behind him, and he chased him down in the basement, and that little mouse running as hard and as fast as he can, and when he did, he stopped because his head hit a bottle of wine in the wine cellar. And he sat there and he thought, oh, I'm so tired of being beat up by that mean old kitty cat. Lord, you promised you would save me and help me. And about that time, out of nowhere, a big old drop of wine fell out of that bottle. It hit him right in the head. Hello. First comes salvation. How many of you know that? Amen. You don't get the Holy Ghost till after you're saved. And that wine fell. It hit him in the head a second time. He opened up his mouth and that wine hit him. Praise God. And all of a sudden he got a little warm feeling. You know, the Holy Ghost, come on, is like an unto wine. Come on, Jerry. He'll put a little bit of warm spirit into you. How many of you know when Jesus came into your heart and your life and the Holy Ghost came in and you felt that warm spot in your life and you knew that it was going to be okay. You knew that it was all in His hands and that warm spot sure did feel good. And all of a sudden another drop of wine came, landed in his mouth, and all of a sudden he started to get happy. Woo! Oh, glory, hallelujah. I would that God would baptize His people with Holy Ghost and joy. Come on, quit eating pickles and persimmons and joy, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is my strength. Hallelujah. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And that little old mouse just got happy right where he was. He forgot about, oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. He forgot about all his problems. Hallelujah. It was all in God's hand. And the next thing you know, as he's sitting there, another drop of that wine fell. And he got a little, then he got giddy. Oh, thank you. How many ever seen some of God's people get giddy? And laugh and praise the Lord and dance. Hallelujah. Oh, this is really good stuff. Hallelujah. And put a little bit of boldness in him. And all of a sudden he began to realize, hey, greater is He that is in me than that kitty cat in the world. Amen. And God is, hey, kitty, kitty, come on, kitty, kitty. I'm tired of being chased by you. I'm tired of being beat up by you. Come here, kitty, kitty, kitty. I got Jesus in here. Come on, boy. The Holy Ghost and joy will put a joy in your life. And you will look at that devil and you'll say, come on, devil. I'm here to stay and cause you trouble. Galen, you might turn me down. I'm liable to shout. That was free. That didn't cost you a thing. But he poured in the healing elements of the day, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his beast. Beast is a beast of burden for carrying a heavy load. Can I tell you there's going to be some work involved? We all have to pull our share of the load. We're not going to get through this without doing our part. Now you can sit there on your blessed assurance and just let Pastor do it all. Good job, Pastor. You go and preach to him. You go and witness to him. You go and bring him to church. But no, this man got his beast and he put him on. He got in under load. The Bible says that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of those that are weak. We need to go, come on, church, and we need to get in under the load. And not only that, but look at this. He brought him to a place of rest. He brought him to an inn. Can I tell you something? This is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for hurting people. A place of rest. The old song, Brother Gary says, where a sinner could come and lay down a heavy load. where many a time, Pastor, I came into church all burdened down, but I found a place to rest in the presence of the Lord. And God lift my burden. He rolled away the weights. Hallelujah. Why? Because somebody took me to a place of rest. This ain't a museum, saints. Sure, your hat's pretty, Nancy. Sure, your outfit is lovely, Pastor. Looking dapper this morning. Looking sharp. But this place of rest. You know, how many like leaving better than what you came? I've come to church, and man, I was mad at the world. How many know what I'm talking about? If I was a pit bull, I'd have bit some people, you know. One time me and my wife we were going to church, Pastor, and we was fussing on the way there. I see all those halos. All you dear saints, me and my wife was fussing on the way to church. We'd mad at one another and going to church. And all of a sudden, our church in Ottawa is out in the country. And on the way there, the fella had some old mules out in his field out there. And you know, mules look pretty sad, right? And you know, they got a long face and a frown upside down. Looked like most of Sunday men. But anyway, we were driving down the road, and I saw that old mule standing by the side of the road. And he had a long face and a mange and looked like he had cuckers in the tail. And I was mad at my wife, and I said, family of yours, you know. Man, I thought I got it really good. And she looked at me and said, only by marriage. Boy, you know, I've never been quick on them turnarounds, you know. I'd have thought of that 2 days later, and you know, she's pretty quick on her feet. Someone said to us one time, said, "Oh, go to hell." She said, "I can't let Christians." I'd have thought of that 2 days later. Guy said, "Oh, y'all are brainwashed," and she said, "You're right. He not only washed our brain, he was hard. His blood washed our life and our sins away." That guy just standing there scratching his head like, and I thought, "Oh, that's a zinger. I got to remember that." And my wife said, only by marriage. And I mean, I was mad, and I put the gas pedal down in the church, and I sat on one side of the pew, and she sat on the other side. And I just dared God to bless me. Go ahead, God. I dare you to bless me. That woman that thou giveth me, she maketh mad. Some people come to church like that. Amen. If you don't put nothing in, you don't get take anything out. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. How many want to see the Lord come down like a light switch turned on? Enter in with praise and thanksgiving. Amen. I was preaching in Holdenville one of the early days of my going out. And I really had a struggle the whole week I was there. And I'm not against women preachers. I don't like them because everyone preached better than me. But it happened to be a woman preacher. And I mean to tell you, it just like, she just beat the people before I ever got up there. She worked them over good before the service even started and after. And I mean, it seemed like everything God was doing, it was kind of getting knocked down and tore down. And it was a struggle. But I made up my mind come Wednesday night. That was my last service Wednesday night. Man, I was going to hit him and run. You see, my job is evangelist. Blow in, blow up, and blow out. I even turned my car around, Brother Galen, so I can make a fast getaway. Because I know I'm probably going to make somebody mad. And I hadn't even got the offering yet. But I didn't care. I was going to deliver what God laid on my heart. And they went through all the stuff that they went through. And I said, you know what? And you know, there's times in church, Pastor, that we have to tell the people, okay, let's get our minds on the Lord. Amen. Let's just lift our hand. And there's a little technique learned to kind of get the people ready to receive the presence of the Lord, even though it should be ready before we get here. And so when I got turned loose, I told everybody, I said, oh, praise the Lord. I want us to do something different. I said, I want us all to get out and go get in our cars and let's start praising God and worshiping in our car. And then I said, then let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I said, let's all go do it. I was so happy. I just knew they would all participate. And everybody got up, grabbed their little stuff and went out to their cars. And about half of them kept on driving. Hello, come back. I didn't say leave. I said just start praising him. And car up in the driveway. But about 10 or 12, started singing in our car and praising God. And we came in. And I'm going to tell you, heaven came down. And glory filled my soul. How many know what I'm talking about? Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. Amen. Enter his gates with into the courts prayed. He was brought to place rest. Look at this. This picker upper, amen. He went to him and took care of his knees, even giving up 2 pence, 2 days' wages of the day. You see, picker uppers are givers. I'm waiting for Bertha. Picker-uppers are giver. They'll give, amen, sacrificially. They'll give, amen, of their time, of their substance, of their finances. They'll give, amen. He said he went to the inn and he gave and he said, take care of this guy. I've got to go. But guess what? Here, amen, I'll come back. His word said, I will come back. How many know our word ought to be something? Used to do business on the shake of a hand, didn't we? Our word was our bond. Amen. I'll pray for you. Amen. And it'll be a table grace prayer either. Oh, Lord, our four, bless them more. Amen. No, when Paul prayed, the Bible said when he prayed for Timothy, he said, make a mention of you night and day. Don't bug me. I'm praying it now. That was Smith Wigglesworth. He was a very much praying man. And if you bothered him, he'd let you know real quick. I'm praying. Don't disturb. But God came and gave him grace. Were the dead raised, sick healed, and why? Because he was a man that admitted prayer. Told Timothy, my word is I'll pray for night and day. Look at this. Went to them, gave them money, said, take care of it, and I will come back tomorrow, and I will pay you. You had to be extra out. Can I tell you something, church? To come to the Lord costs you nothing. Salvation full and free, paid for because of Calvary. Given to an eye, didn't cost you a thing, and it didn't come by a handshake in religion either. Come on. It came because what stood upon Calvary's cross, it meant something. But to serve the Lord cost you everything. And all of a sudden said, I will come back. You see, picker up or what it takes. They'll give and give and give again. Offering, tithe, time, effort. It's going to cost us. But I'm so thankful somebody invested. Someone had to help. I guess no. Oh, so you have to pay bills. You took time with him. Did come back. Our word, beater-uppers, passer-uppers. Which one are you? Which one are you? I want a picker-upper by my family. I want a picker-upper by my sister who's alcoholic, messed up, hit bottom, lost it. I need a picker-upper go her way. And you, me, maybe at that divine appointment is me going by your family. Hello? You see, there will be people that go by this brother's step that will never come across mine. And there will be people that are across my doorstep that will never cross his. And I must be the light. And I must be there and available of God that I would be a picker-upper. How many are glad that Jesus is a picker-upper? That he would pick us up. And you know what? Many times I failed God miserably. A whole lot of. But guess what? Guess who was right there? How many are glad he's God of second chance? And he believes in lost causes. Amen. Many times I failed God miserably, but guess who picked me? The Bible said, though I fall 7 times, yet will the Lord, hallelujah, he'll pick, hallelujah. I've had him pick me up. Come on, child. How many are glad he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost? Amen. I've had him do it. Come on, church. I've had him pick us up. Even when we failed, God used his love and passion to clean us up. Okay, let's walk this thing out. One day at a time, the Lord. I don't fall as much as I used to because I got somebody that walks inside of me and helps me. Are you a beater-upper today? Robbing people of their chance, this garment of salvation. Are you a passer-upper? Too busy in your life, take time with or are you a heads and clothes? I'm praying picker-upper. That God was no longer robbing people of, no longer passing by people need help, but pickers that will be full of passion and good. Pouring oil and binding, place them on their bird, toting them that God might save. If you're here today, maybe the world left you beaten up. Maybe bent up, sir. Maybe you have been left dead, broken, bleeding, ma'am. But I want you that there's some here today who most sure Jesus picked you up. He will pour in his wine and his joy. You see, there's one that will pass by. There's one that's passing right now where you are, waiting to say, Lord, don't pass by. Come. You know, that blind man let you by. The Bible said he cried out a great deal's attention. Hello. He won't pass by, sir. He won't pass by day, man. He cares about how you're hurting, broken. Would you let the Lord be up? Maybe say, I need to be. I've been bruised. Are you here this day? You say, I need it by the Lord. God bless and God bless that one. Hands up all over.